They are so excited. They have been practicing so hard for today. We try out way back in October, and so they've been staying after church for 2 hours every Sunday since the 1st of October to practice for this play. So this is a big commitment, and they are so excited. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Adrienne. I am the kids pastor here at the Grove Church. I get the privilege to pastor all these amazing kiddos, and they sure are a lot of fun. They have actually made me laugh more practicing for this play than any other time, I think. They have a lot to say if you can't see that already. I also want to give a big thanks to Joy. I think she walked out again. But she does all the choir and all the music for the play, and she does just a fantastic job. If you can give her a big thank you. And then to all my Grove kids, you'll see them. They were behind the stage trying to help because we did have a fainter in one of our practices. So we're ready for anything. They're behind helping the kiddos, and they did not miss one cue. I am so proud of them. They did a lot of standing, and we did it twice on our dress rehearsal, and then today is the first time they're having to perform it three times. So I have a little bit of sugar for them up there right now, so they're going to go party, have a little sugar, and do it one more time after this. They're so excited. I think they're more excited for the break than anything else. But one of the reasons I love watching kids tell the Christmas story is because the way they tell it. They don't complicate things. They don't get stuck in the noise that sometimes us adults do. They come with wonder and excitement. They come with this beautiful innocence. Kids just tell the Christmas story so beautifully. They don't have simple minds, but they have this simple trust. They just believe. Honestly, sometimes I think kids can preach the gospel better than some of us adults. Not because they know more, but because they believe. Like my little Aiden finishing off, I told him, I was like, do you want to just preach for me? You've got this. He's amazing. And today, you didn't just watch a play. You encountered the greatest story in human history, acted out by kids who still believe that Jesus is living and he is their light. Most of us know this story through the accounts of Matthew and Luke, and a lot of the story the narrator said a lot throughout. But today I want to talk to you a little different, the book of John. Now John, he doesn't start off with the baby. He doesn't start off with the birth of Jesus. He doesn't start off with a manger. He doesn't start off with wise men or the gifts, which is all important. But instead, John starts with eternity. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to John 1, verses 1 and 2. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." John wants us to hear something familiar in those words, "in the beginning." He's intentionally echoing Genesis. Now remember, John is writing this 60 to 90 years after Jesus had died. He is the last living disciple. Peter's been killed for his faith. Paul's been killed for his faith. Jerusalem has fallen. Christians everywhere are being hunted. His life and everything around it feels like it's shaking. But John sits down and he writes these words because he wants you to know, let me remind you who Jesus really is. He doesn't begin with Mary or the shepherds or the angels. He begins with eternity. John wants you to know Jesus didn't just start in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is just where he became one of us. We like to say Emmanuel, God with us. But he's always existed. He's always ruled. He's always been God. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." And here's why it matters for your life. This hope that Jesus offers, it isn't fragile. It isn't seasonal. It doesn't just happen one time a year at Christmas time. It isn't a holiday feeling that once we hit January, it'll fade away. This hope that Jesus gives you is anchored in eternity. You are not placing your life in the hands of a temporary light, but an eternal one. Now, I have something to show this. This right here is like our hopes. Have you ever hoped for something? I know I have. Maybe you've hoped for good test results. Maybe you've hoped for a change, for financial breakthrough. Maybe you've hoped for your marriage. Maybe, a lot of people think hope looks like this. Boy, I hope things get better. I hope my diagnosis changes. I hope my kid will come back to church. But it can feel like this, floating, drifting, unpredictable. But that's not actual hope, that's wishing. Wishing has no weight, no direction, no strength to hold you when the storm hits and when pressure comes. It just drifts away. But biblical hope is this. It doesn't float, it holds. Scripture doesn't say we have a wish in Jesus, it says we have a living, secure hope, a hope with a weight. The hope we place in Jesus doesn't drift when life gets hurt, life gets hard. It doesn't vanish when fear shows up. It doesn't float away when your prayers take a long time. Wishing says, I hope something changes. But biblical hope says, I am holding on to someone who will never change. At the end of the play, the last words before the last song speak of this light. So if this light is eternal and it's always been, and it's anchored before we were here, before time, why would that light step into our darkness? Why would an eternal God come to a broken world like ours? John continues in verses 3 and 4. Through him, all things were made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. John is saying the creator stepped down into his own creation. Why would a king leave heaven? Why would a God enter a world that rejected him? He did it because we could never climb out of our darkness on our own. We can't fix ourselves. We could never save ourselves. We could never be good enough on our own. So, the light, he came to us. God has always come towards humanity. All throughout scriptures, humans tried to find and to reach God through building altars, making sacrifices, trying to win God's approval by doing good things. And every single time, God came to them instead. He came to Abraham and to Moses, to Gideon. He came to Mary and to the shepherds. God is and has always been the God that will run towards you. Some of you walked in today and you're feeling far from God. But distance, it's just a human feeling. It is not a spiritual reality. God has never once said, you have to try and find me. He says, I'm coming for you. And when light steps in, darkness doesn't stand a chance. John continues in verse 5, which this is the verse I wrote the whole play on that just really resonated with me. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. One of the most dangerous lies we can believe is this. I need to get out of the darkness before God can help me. But that's not the gospel. That's not our Jesus. Jesus doesn't wait for clean places. He comes right into the messy ones. And thank goodness he does. John doesn't pretend the world is bright. He acknowledges that darkness and he speaks directly into it. Some of you, you walked in today and you're battling anxiety that no one sees. And that can be a lonely road. I have walked that. It's hard. You act like you have it all together on the outside, but on the inside, you're crumbling. Maybe you're grieving someone you've lost. It's been a hard year. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. You've tried everything. You don't know what else to do. Maybe your teenager is hurting, and you don't know how to help them. Maybe you're functioning. Everybody thinks you're okay. Maybe you're lonely. You just want a friend. You just want someone to be there with you. But hear me, this darkness, This is not evidence of God's absence. Darkness is where Jesus does his best work. When you walked in this morning, you were handed something small, a tea light candle. Go ahead and hold it in your hand, but don't turn it on quite yet. Nathan, if you can dim our lights. This room represents our world without Jesus. It's dark. It's broken. It's uncertain. But John tells us the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Go ahead and turn on your light. This is what happens when Jesus enters. Darkness doesn't argue. It doesn't negotiate. It doesn't slowly fade away. It flees. Jesus is not intimidated by your darkness. He is not intimidated by things you have done. He comes and he overcomes it. He outshines it. He heals it. He defeats it. Go ahead and just keep your lights on as I finish. Now we've reached the heart of the gospel, the real reason why Christmas exists. Later on in his gospel, John writes these words: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Let's pause on those words: God so loved. Not God was disappointed. Not God was so fed up. Not God was so angry. Love. Love moved him. Love sent him. And love brought him down to us in this beautiful story that you watched today. Jesus didn't come to shine a spotlight of shame. He came to shine a light of rescue. He didn't come to expose you, to humiliate you, or to condemn the world. John says he came to reveal your need so he could redeem you and save you. As I close, I want to give you the most important invitation you will ever hear. John says the light has come, but he also says we must receive it. You can sit in a bright room and still keep your eyes closed. You can watch a beautiful play and still miss the Savior who came for you. Today, the light is shining, not just in this room, but in your life. For some of you, this might be your first time in church. You came just to watch one of these amazing kids. For others, maybe it's been a while and you're coming back. Some of you have been around church for a long time, but maybe you need to step into the light of Jesus' forgiveness. Maybe this year has been the hardest year of your life. It's been a hard one for us. My dad walked through cancer. My mom fell and broke her femur and her hip. I've always had health issues. It's been a hard year. Maybe you felt unseen, overwhelmed, disappointed that life is not what you thought it was going to be. Maybe you're disappointed in yourself. Maybe you're carrying your mistakes like a heavy luggage. But Jesus didn't come to avoid that. He didn't come to avoid your darkness. He came to walk right into it. And today, this light, it's calling you. I want to ask you to do a simple favor. If you can just bow your heads and close your eyes for me. Just take a moment. I just want you to think. Consider this. If you are honest with yourself, would you say, "I'm in darkness. I'm tired. I'm carrying sin or shame or fear. I'm so ready to give up. I need hope. I need forgiveness. I need a Savior. I need this light." Then today is your day, because the God who created you, he walked towards you. He died for you and rose again for you. He is inviting you right now, this morning, to step into his light. The Bible says whoever believes, whoever receives this light, becomes a child of God. Not later, not when you get your life sorted out, today, right now, in this moment. If that's you, I want to invite you to be bold and to slip your hand up. With no one looking around, this is between you and God. Say, I want this light. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Awesome. For everyone who raised their hand, and if you've said this prayer before, if you can just repeat after me, all you have to do is just say these words. Say, Jesus, I come into the light. I believe you came for me. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. Be my light. Be my Savior. I give you my life. Amen. Church, heaven is rejoicing today. It says that heaven rejoices just for one stepping in, and we had multiple say yes to Jesus. This is why Jesus came. This is the whole point of Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because the light has come to us. And the darkness, it will never, ever overshadow it. I'm going to close in prayer. Jesus, thank you for your reminder today. Through this play and these songs, God, that you came to us, a broken people, because you loved us so much, Lord. Thank you that there is nothing we can do that can separate us from you and your love. Help us as we go through this Christmas season, remember the real reason why we celebrate. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.